the entire community, and actually all of Klal Yisrael, owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Rosh Yeshiva of Shai Kohn for the unbelievable work that he does, Sai in Kiruv Rechoikim, and Sai in Kiruv Kroivim. And it's an honor, and we should realize it, it's an honor that our neighborhood is Zoicha to be the host, to be the home of such an unbelievable institution, and to be the place where such a master mechanech trains, teaches, and gives over the Dvar Hashem to his Talmidim. The Marishim should give the Rosh Yeshiva continued koyach to continue to be Marbitz Torah, to be Maimit Talmidim, be Makarev people, be Mechazik and Ma'udit people, Ad Bias Koyel Tzedek, when all of us together will be replaced and put into a new Mokayim in Yerushalayim Abnuya.
Amen.
Chazal tell us, Pischuli, Pischoi Shel Machat, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, open up for me a small pinhole in your heart. Allow my words to enter into your heart. A small Pesach, the smallest size that could be described, the whole of a machat. Vani eftach lecha, and the Rebbeinu Shlom promises us, if we will take that first step and open up our hearts, kipischoi shel machat, vani eftach lecha, kipischoi shel ulam, I will widen that small opening in your heart so wide that it will be like the opening of a wide hallway leading to a ballroom. Rab Leib Chasman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Chevener Rosh Yeshiva, he remarks on those words of Chazal. I'm speaking for myself. Everyone else could decide on their own. But I could be made on myself. I wish that my heart was open, like the wide opening of an ulam. I wish that my heart was throbbing with avas Hashem, was feeling a bit of the pachad of the yira, that one should feel this time of the year, just a couple of days before the Yoim HaGodol V'Anoira, Yoim HaKadosh, the Yoim of Slicha V'Chapara, when the Rebbeinu Shloilam has been kaveya this day for Kaporas Avoinis. I wish I could say my heart was wide open to the Dvar Hashem. Says Rab Leib Chasman, if our hearts are not open as wide as an ulam, but we might say to ourselves, yes, I haven't gotten that far yet, but at least it's open a little. I've done something. I've started. I daven Rosh Hashanah. I've been waking up early and I've said Slichas every day. Said Rav Leib Chasman, if we don't have hearts that are open ke'ulam, it's proof that we have yet to open up our heart like a Pesach shel machat. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed us, if we would have taken the first step, if we would have opened our hearts just one drop, the Rebbeinu Shlom would have already opened up our hearts Kipischoi shel ulam. And if our hearts are not wide open at this point, 2 days before Yom HaKippurim, then sadly, we're going to have to face the facts. We haven't even taken the first step, a true step of opening our hearts, of saying to the Rebbeinu shel ulam, help me, I want to be open to your words. I want to feel your love that I know you have for me. I want to reflect that love back to you. I want to be inspired by these days. I want to reach out to you. I want to return to you. We just said in the Slichas on Soim Gedalia, where we're describing how a person has to take advantage of the opportunity to do tshuva during these days. And in the Slicha we say, Noyash v'loy shav. If a person gives up all hope and he doesn't take advantage and do tshuva during these days, is Rachmanu Litzlan, the Python writes, Ein Takona Livoloi, there's no Takona, there's no Tikkun. And Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar sounded, and as Rav Sadia Gaon explained in one of the Tamei Hadvarim for Shofar, Tkiya Shofar, the Shofar blowing is the warning signal. We have just begun a special time of Dirshu Hashem B'Motzai, when the Ribbono Shel'Olam is present. He's here, he's waiting for us to do tshuva. He's asking us. He says to us, he sends his Navi and says, Shuva Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, I'm begging you, Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Alekecha. As the Medrash says, that when Yeshaya Navi said this to Klal Yisrael, they responded, we're too embarrassed. We've sinned so badly, we're so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't do tshuva. And the Navi said back, Klum Yesh Ben, is there then a son that's embarrassed to come in front of his father? The Ribbono Shel Olam is waiting for us to take a step towards him. One small step. I just saw this year, Pshat, had to see it in a sefer quoting Rashi and the pasuk that we read yesterday in Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. V'ani kivroish ranon, we said, I am like a vroish ranon, like a certain type of bush, a fresh bush, a broish bush. And Rashi says, why is Hashem comparing himself to this bush? And Rashi says that this bush grows bent over, so that it's easy for a person to pull its branches. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am bent over. I am bending over towards you. I am doing everything I can do to beg of you. Grab on to me. Haltzich on. Grab on and come to me. I'm holding out my hands to you and I'm begging you. Dirshu Hashem b'imotzoi. And Rashi says, Ba'oichu Oimer Darshuni, grab on, come back to him during that time when he's asking you, be Dairish me, look for me, come to me. How could we be so foolish as to let these days go by? It's only 2 days left to Yom HaKippurim. It could only be that we don't really think that we could do it. We don't think we're capable of doing tshuva. We must not believe that it's possible for us to be loved by Hashem, to change and become better. We have to know. I was just reading a few moments on the beautiful sheet of inspiring thoughts that Rav Cohn put together on tshuva. We have to know that Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and he wants us to do tshuva. He's called Baruch Atah Hashem. We say it every day, Haroitze b'tshuva. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do tshuva. He's not like a king that would be angry and push aside someone who the last moment says, wait, it's tomorrow's the din. I'm sorry. He's waiting for us to do that. The last moment when our hand is tied around our back and we call out, we give up. We're sorry, please be Michael us. Lev nishbar v'nidke elikim loy sivze. If a person just breaks his heart a bit and says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I feel badly, I want to improve. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't say, now you're coming to me? A day before Yom Kippur, where were you till now? No, the Ribbono Shel Olam pulls us towards him and says, I'll take anything from you. Just tell me, you want to come back to me. We all want to hear the beautiful words we're expecting and the words of Chizuk that we'll hear from Rav Cohn de Yeshiva. I just want to end with a story. I admittedly said in my shul yesterday, but I feel it's just such a beautiful maisa. I'd like to share it, if there's someone perhaps that didn't hear it. The Olam is saying it over, b'shem Rav Avram Elimelech Bitterman Shlita, a great mashpia who lives in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh. He related, there's a family in Yerushalayim. I don't know if it's the only such family, that Nebach, the children, are living in a home bereft of father and mother. Rahmanu Litzlan Le'alainu. And in that family, there's an older daughter who, on her frail shoulders, has fallen the responsibility, the day-to-day responsibility to care for her younger siblings, for her younger brothers and sisters. And a day or two before Rosh Hashanah, one of the younger girls in the family marched down the street into a jewelry store. And she looked up at the storekeeper and said, I would like to purchase a gift to show my Hakaras HaToiv to my sister. And the owner said, why? What do you have your eye on? What would you like to purchase? And she points at a magnificent piece of jewelry in the showcase. And he says to her, why do you want to buy your sister this piece of jewelry? And the little girl says, because I have no father and mother. And my older sister, she puts me to sleep at night like my mother used to. And she wakes me up and dresses me and sends me off to school. I want to say thank you to her. And that's why I want to purchase that piece for her. And the fellow looks at the little girl and says, did you bring any money with you? She says, yes, I've been saving for a long time. He says, let me see what you have. She opens up a little purse and shakes out a number of coins onto the shelf. He counts it up, 3, 4, 5, 8, 12, 20 shekel. He says, fine, exactly enough. Takes the money, puts it into the cash register, and wraps up this beautiful, exquisite piece of jewelry and warns the girl to be careful to bring it home and make sure it gets to her sister. And that night, with the greatest amount of love that a little girl could have in her heart, she presented her older sister with this gift. And the sister opens up the box and sees the jewelry and says, where in the world did you get this beautiful piece of jewelry? And the little girl says, I bought it from you with my own money to say thank you for everything you've done for me. And the sister said, where did you buy this? Where did you have the money for it? She says, I've been saving for a long time. How much did this cost? She said, it was 20 shekel. And the sister says, where did you buy it? She says, at the jewelry store around the corner. She thanked the little girl. And a little later, she went out of the house and she went down to the jewelry store. And she said to the storekeeper, sir, I appreciate that you gave my sister this thing as a gift, but there's no reason for it. I know this thing cost, I'm sure, thousands of shekel. I'm not accepting a gift. And the man says to her, listen, I happen to be an almoin myself. I'm a widower. And I've owned this store for many years. Many people come into my store, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, and they purchase jewelry for members of their family. But in all the years that I owned this store, I never felt that feeling of pure love and Hakaras HaToiv that this little girl expressed when she told me she wanted to buy that jewelry for her sister. With that love, 20 shekel, and that love covers the full cost of the jewelry. It was paid in full. Please keep it. And Rav Bitterman said, perhaps we're not holding on any great madrega to give the Ribbono Shel Olam a tremendous gift, l'chvoy de yom ha'nayroim. But if we would open our hearts and for a moment give the Ribbono Shel Olam one small gift, one small token of appreciation, of heartfelt appreciation, of love that we owe him for everything that he's done for us in the past year and all the years of our lives. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will say to us, all your chayvus are paid in full. And that's what we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, l'chayk kol shitrei chayvoseinu. If we'll open up our hearts just a small bit and express to the Ribbono Shel Olam our regret and our karas hatoiv, the Ribbono Shel Olam will respond in kind and bench all of us and all of Klal Yisrael with a shana of slicha, mechila, yeshuos v'nechamos, refuos, mal Hashem, kol mashalas libeinu l'toiva for us and for all of Klal Yisrael, l'gmachsim l'toiva, and thank you so much for allowing me to speak. Amen.
Rabbi Pfeiffer, for the inspiring words. We now have the privilege of hearing a few words of Divrei Chizik from Rabbi Eliezer Feuer, the Rav of the Young Israel.
So I'm here for two reasons, maybe three. First, Takar Satayv to the Rosh Yeshiva, as Rabbi Pfeiffer mentioned, it's a unique privilege to have the yeshiva in our midst. Also, I noticed on the flyer that we could do tshuva easy, so I figured this is the place to be tonight before Yom Kippur. And thirdly, I noticed that it's a time of admission of Rabbanim to come and say over stories that they said from their speeches in shul, and that's the ultimate vidui. So this is part and parcel of our kapara, I guess, and our tshuva process. I'm going to share with you just two stories tonight, which I believe will help us reach Kirvas Hashem, something that we desperately want, something that we desperately need. And when we talk about tshuva made easy, it reminds us of the pasuk, Kikarai ve'lecha adavar ma'oid, b'ficha v'vavcha la'asaysay, Chazal tell us that is going on the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva, in essence, should be very easy. So the flyer is absolutely correct. But why do we find it so hard? I heard this story from the individual himself. He was a young boy. His father left the family. The mother was trying to bring up the children on her own. It was very difficult. And this young man, he went off to another country to study in the yeshiva. And he just about had enough. He had it. It was too much for him. And he decided that after Pesach, he's done with religion. Finished. He's going to celebrate Pesach the way he always did. And then Matzah Pesach, he's off and running to a new lifestyle. Now, this young man was a chassid of a particular chassidus with a particular rebbe. Now you remember this boy, this young man is on the other side of the ocean. On Chol Moed Pesach, the phone rings where he was staying, and the Rebbe calls this young man, and he says, I want to speak to Moshe, is he there? And Moshe answered the phone, he says, who is this? And this Rebbe mentioned his name. So Moshe says, is this the Rebbe? He says, yes. And is this Moshe? He says, yeah. Rebbe, what can I do for you? This is Moshe. I didn't see you by the Seder. I didn't see you by the Seder this past week. What happened to you? Every year, Pesach night, you sit with me at my Seder. I didn't notice you. So I had to go search for you and find where you were. Where were you? He says, Rebbe, listen, I'm here on the other side of the ocean. I wasn't up to it. And the Rebbe says to him, but we didn't talk about it. We didn't have a conversation. You didn't ask me. We didn't discuss, perhaps there's a way of you coming in, or why you weren't going to come in. What's going on? This young man, he hems and haws. He's trying to maneuver his way out of the light, the limelight, the spotlight of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says to him, listen here. I want you to go to this and this address. There's a ticket waiting for you. I hope your passport's valid. There will be some food and money and a ticket waiting for you. I want you back in New York tomorrow evening. We're going to discuss it. This young man went to the address that the Rebbe told him to go to. He picked up the ticket, the money, a little package of food. He went to the airport, and the next afternoon he landed in Kennedy. He took a taxi straight to the Rebbe's home, and he walks into the Rebbe's house, into the Rebbe's office. The Rebbe shuts the door, and he says to him, how in the world can you miss a Seder without discussing it with me? We didn't have a conversation about it. And this young man is trying to figure out a way out, and the Rebbe is relentless. Until finally the Rebbe, in his infinite wisdom, calls over the Shamas. He tells the Shamas, I need your set of keys. You know, by the Chassidim, a set of keys is not just five keys, it's like 100 keys, maybe 200 keys. Every door has a special key. And the Rebbe took the rung of keys from the Gabbai, from the Shamas, and he says to this young man, from now on, you own this key set, every single key to my entire empire, to the entire Chassidus, is yours. If you would do me a favor, could you please just make another set for the Gabbai? This young man's life was changed instantly. He went from a broken soul, a child without a parent, a child who struggled for years and years with his peers, with his friends, with family or lack thereof. And suddenly he's handed a gift, the set of keys to the entire empire of this Rebbe's Chassidus. His life was transformed in a moment. And I know this individual. He is an amazing person. A person who unlocks the doors of the lives of so many. All due to the wisdom of that particular Rebbe. And Yom Kippur, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is the Rebbe of all Rebbes. And he calls us. And he says, Moshe and Yanki and Zeviv, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah. Where are you? I didn't see you. I haven't noticed you lately on Shabbos. I haven't noticed you lately doing a chesed. And we try to squirm out of it. Well, you know, I had a hard year. I had a hard week. I have this excuse. I have that excuse. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, listen, there's an address, and at that address, there's a ticket, and you have a valid passport, I promise you. And there's money, and there's food. I want to see you in my office tomorrow afternoon by Tfilah Zaka. We're all going to join up with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the office. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is on the other side of the desk, and he's going to look us in the eye and say, what's the problem? What happened? And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is going to give us the keys to the entire world. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is going to give us the rung of keys, every key, the ring that has within it every key to every single door. Pischei Olam. Su'u sha'arm rasheichem, u'su'u pischei Olam. V'yavei melech ha'kavei. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the greatest, and he's waiting just to give us that set of keys. But sometimes, even when we have the set of keys, we don't know what to do with the set of keys. We feel so inadequate. We feel so small. We're unworthy. What have we done this last year to deserve the set of keys, let alone to utilize them? And many times we take the set of keys, like most years, and we hang it up on a nail somewhere, and we forget about that set of keys. Who am I to use the set of keys in the Pischei Olam? There's nothing about me that's worthy. And so I want to share with you a story that I mentioned yesterday in Shul. Rabbi Lau, senior, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, in 1967, after the Milchama, he went to the hospitals to visit the soldiers. And he came to one particular room. In a bed, there was a young soldier, maybe 19, 20 years old, who Nebuch, Rachman al-Itzlan, his tank was hit by a shell and it burst into flame. Many didn't make it out. He was alive, but his entire body was burnt, Rachman al-Itzlan. And there stood Rabbi Lau on one side of the bed, across from the mother of this soldier on the other side of the bed. And the soldier was crying in agony, he was screaming in Yisurim Nairoim. There wasn't any part of his body that had any flesh on it. He was completely burnt. After a few minutes of looking at the scene, Rabbi Lau, he pushed it, he needed to take a little bit of a breather. And so slowly, perhaps a bit awkwardly, he turned around to look out the window to have a little bit of a different view for a moment. And as he slowly turns around, there's sudden silence. Silence. And Rabbi Lau got so frightened. He thought to himself, perhaps the soldier perished. He was nifter. Such yisurim, such b'chias, such a loud cry suddenly stopped. Total and utter silence. He must have passed away. And it took him a few minutes to turn around once again to face the mother of a soldier who just died al Kiddush Hashem from his wounds. And as he turns around, he sees on the face of the soldier serenity, peace, and the mother is smiling a bit. He's trying to figure out what happened. The soldier was very much alive. The mother had found a little piece of flesh intact on his leg. And with her finger, she was soothing that small little piece of skin that she found. And she said to her son, her beloved one, she said, "It's going to be okay. You're going to heal. You're going to leave the hospital. You'll make it from this little piece of skin. This will be a rejuvenation and a rebirth and the revival of you, and you will walk out of this hospital a healthy individual and rebuild your life." And she continues to caress and to soothe that little tiny piece of skin. And that brought peace and serenity to the face of the soldier. And he stopped screaming. We may have been burnt. We may have burnt many bridges. We may have transgressed and committed things that don't exactly allow us to come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in his infinite love, like a mother to a child, is looking for just any piece of skin. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam needs nothing more than just a tiny fragment, one schus, one kabbalah, one thing that maybe we've done or perhaps will do positive. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, with his etzba elokim of din, will take his finger and he will start to massage and caress and soothe the neshama of the yid, the broken yid, with the ring of keys in his hand that he's not sure what to do with it. Am I worthy? Should I hang it up? Should I utilize it? Where am I going with this ring of keys? But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam loves us. He's waiting to shower us with an amazing year of health, of wealth, of inner peace, of simcha, of nachas from our children. We're going to have su'upis chayolam. We're not going to run into closets any longer. We're going to open up pischei olam, the doors of eternity, with the keys that Hashem is waiting to give us. All we need is just one piece of skin. And so yes, tshuva can be easy. It's kikar v'lecha davar ma'oy b'ficha uvovavcha la'saisai. We all could do it. We all have within us a little bit. A little bit we definitely have. And that's all Hashem's looking for. And Mirtz Hashem, in the schos of this Moyerdiket Tzibur, coming together to better ourselves, this in itself is already on the right path. And in Mirtz Hashem, this should be the beginning of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's ability to look at us and say, these are worthy people to be given the ring of keys. And Emir Tzashem, Mishzaycha, Emir Tzashem, to a Gemar Chassim HaTayva, to utilize our keys to open up the doors of everything we need this year, we should be Zaycha, Emir Tzashem, to a Shnas, Geula v'Yeshua.
Amen. I express our appreciation to Rav Pfeiffer and Rav Feuer for their eloquent inspiration, and at this opportunity for the amazing and patient hospitality that both have offered to the yeshiva. And the Aguda, we were housed for many years, and we weren't exactly easy tenants. We're so appreciative of that hospitality that was done with such sensitivity, care, respect, and devotion, and we're forever grateful. And in the Young Israel to this day, the Mesifte Amatora High School is housed. Also, which group is more difficult, I really don't know. I don't think that matters at this time. But also with such warmth, friendship, hospitality, kindness, sensitivity, and respect. And we're deeply, deeply appreciative. And it's certainly the leadership of both shuls and specifically the leadership of the Rabbonim that have made all of this possible. And for that, we will be forever grateful. The topic, the strange topic, was really supposed to be tshuva made easier, but upon the advice of some tempering influences, it was supposed to be tshuva made easy. We opted to make it just easier and not quite easy. But the reality is that there's a strong imperative to make it easy. Number one, because difficult things are much more difficult to perform. And that's in general about everything in life. And certainly when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to renewing and reconnecting our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's an overwhelming thought. And that's under the best of circumstances. And then we start to think about ourselves. And maybe from around Rosh Chodesh Elul, maybe from around the beginning of Slichas, maybe from around Erev Rosh Hashanah, maybe Rosh Hashanah, we start to think about where we're holding in the world. In the Loshon of the Sipurnu, Kamoro Chakto Mehokel, how far we've distanced ourselves from Hashem, in so many attitudes, in so many actions, in so many feelings, in so many mistakes and shortcomings. And then we become overwhelmed with tshuva, to change, to remove, to even remember what we've done is an impossibility. And yet to think that we're going to correct, and we're going to find the ability to have charota, to regret with remorse, and the ability to have a kabbalah al osid, to accept that in the future we're not going to act this way, and to be able to say vidui, not a vidui peh, just empty clapping, but a vidui that's kahalocha, where it's not ketevil b'sheretz b'yodoy, as the Rambam says. It's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. And for those of us who don't feel that it's overwhelming, I would suggest that sometimes we get overwhelmed in our subconscious. On the outside, we calm down, we fool ourselves, we pretend, we look the other way, we close our eyes, and not worried about anything. I got it all under control. But deep down, everybody is traumatized. Yes, traumatized on some level by that which we have to accomplish in this short period of time. And when we reflect upon the things that have taken place in the previous year, and we realize that those decisions were made last year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they were based on our ability to change ourselves and to renew ourselves and to improve ourselves and to be mekabel on ourselves to do better, then it becomes almost unbearable. And therefore, I think that in order for a sincere and serious and confident effort at beginning the process of tshuva, we must recognize the fact that, as we heard previously, ki korov elecho hadovor me'oid, it's really not that far away. It's really very close. Because as we heard from the previous speakers, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to see something, some beginning, some opening, some intent, some awakening. And he considers that, he's machshiv that, and he improves upon that, and he draws upon that, and he makes the process happen. And therefore, I think that anything that we could present to ease this burden is Very, very appropriate. Number one, the Reb Chaim Volozhin in the Keser Rosh, it's found in the Siddur Hagro, says an amazing thing. He says, "Mi ikar hadin, mi dino de Gemara, tshuva is a gmiras das sheloi loshuv lekisla oid. I make up my mind. I'm not going back to that foolishness. Enough. I don't want. I'm gmir das. I make a conviction. I am convinced of the fact. I have made up my mind firmly that I'm not going to return to these foolishness. Umeriris halev, and the bitterness of heart, which the Rabbeinu Yoina describes in all the Madregas of Tshuva, his loshen is liyeser seis. These are extra. These are lifnim mishuras hadin. But meyikar hadin, it's that gemiras das. And we find explained, the Mabit explains and others, that gemiras das does not mean that I'll never do it again. Because if it had to mean that, it would mean nothing to us to be goyim redas, because we have experience. We've been goyim redas before, and not always with amazing success. But it seems that if now, b'shas ma'isa, I make up my mind that I don't want to do this again, it makes no difference. I shouldn't say that. But despite the fact that in the future, I may be nichshol in the loshon of the Mabit, the Yetzirah won again. There was another challenge, and I didn't make it. But I was goymer das, and I performed the mitzvah of tshuva, v'shavto ad Hashem elokecha, in the ikir hadin, midina de gemara, what that mitzvah is all about. That says a lot. But comes along Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and tells us that sometimes that too may be very difficult. And Reb Yisroel describes a geder of oisin tshuva. I'm in the family, I'm in the area, I'm in the parsha of doing tshuva. And that, it seems from the writings of Reb Yisroel, is about a step, is even about a hisirus, is about an awakening, is about sitting at an evening like this and having a thought, I really want to make a change. I want to make a difference. I want to do something. I want to take some steps or a step back to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And I feel incapable of being able to do it all at once. And I know if I undertake everything, I'll end up with nothing. So I begin with some small effort, and even an awakening, a hisirus, something that says, I'm going to give it a try, I have to do something. And Rabbi Yisrael says that that person is considered in the geder of oisin tshuva, and so much of the brocha, and so much of the benefit, and so much of the influence on the din takes place in his favor because of the fact that he is in the parsha of oisin tshuva. There's an amazing comment from the Sefer HaChinuch. The comment is not in the Tkiah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but rather in the Tkiah Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, in Parshas Bahar. And there he says, in Agav, he refers to the Inyan of Tkiah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And he says the Inyan is to remember Akedas Yitzchok. And then his loshen is Unetzayer benafshenu lasayis gam onu komoihu le'avas Hashem, and we picture in ourselves to do the same thing. I put my face in that picture and say, I too. Let's imagine that I'm performing this Akedas Yitzchok machmas the avas Hashem as Avraham Avinu did. And he concludes and says, Nihye Zakoim Lefonov. We will become innocent. We will win, in a sense, that din, that mishpot that's taking place in front of Hashem because of that effort. And that's an amazing thing. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu looks and says, there's such a thing as Akedas Yitzchok. The schus is unmeasurable. It's unbelievable. It's a schus that we still kept alive today, so many doyreis later. But if I picture myself, I make that effort, I say, I would like to be doing that. I see myself doing it. I look at myself doing that. Then that can be a schus that can influence the din completely in our favor. And I think what that really says to us is that there's a power in the imagination, in the ability of a person to look at himself as good, to look at himself as doing something positive, to imagine himself in that picture of the highest level of Mesiras Nefesh, which he rationally has no shaykhis to. Who can reach such a level like Avraham Avinu? Who in future, in the later generations, reach such a level? But the effort, I'm trying. I would like to. I picture myself. Pictures are not that expensive. No, it's a picture. I'm looking at myself. But that effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you wish, you're attempting even this seemingly simple or simplistic or minimal attempt to achieve such a level, consider it done. Consider it accomplished. Consider that Hashem will be mezakeh us in the din because of that effort. Now what that really means is there's a whole world of tshuva that has to do with picturing ourselves doing the good that we wish we would like to be able to do, and maybe avoiding the bad that we would like to be able to avoid. It's very difficult to deliver. To deliver on an Akedas Yitzchak for us would be an unbelievably difficult task. But the picture is not that difficult. But the effort is considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such an intensity, with such a power, with such a sincerity, with such an effort at that reaching that level of achievement, HaKadosh Baruch in his infinite chesed and rachamim says, okay, consider it done. We'll give you the credit for it. He credits us with intent and effort with unbelievable levels of credit. But it also means something else. It must mean that that picture is very powerful. Because if it was just a fleeting picture that didn't mean anything and it couldn't do anything for me, then why so much credit? The Teretz says, it's a sincere effort. It's a real effort. It's a powerful effort, as seemingly simple as it may be. And that means that one of the opportunities for tshuva available to us is picturing ourselves doing better. That picture is worth, 1,000 words is too little. That picture may be worth everything. That picture may be part of the gather, is certainly part of the gather of Oisin Shuva. That picture may even be more than begeder Oisin Shuva. It may actually be a serious step in the accomplishment of the process of tshuva. It certainly is enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will render us zakoyim lefonov because of that effort. It's not as difficult as the total change that we would like to see ourselves accomplish. But it's something that can truly make a difference in our lives. And to keep that in mind at a time like this, when we become overwhelmed with all that has to change, and couple that together with the realization that there's a gemiras das to do good, and a self-image to do good, can combine for a major step in the direction of accomplishing the mitzvah and the fulfillment of the directive of tshuva to Hashem. But I think there's something else that we also have to be aware of, and it was certainly indicated in the previous Divrei Chizuk that we heard. Who is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Why are we so afraid Why, if it isn't conscious, it's subconscious, it's buried, but the very fact that we try to ignore and try to pretend and try to forget is the greatest indication of how much it overwhelms us. Why? And the truth of the matter is, there's no better preparation for this mitzvah of tshuva than the Seder of the Yud Gimel Midos, which we started reciting on the first Slichus and continue till through tomorrow, through Yom Kippur. And the awareness of how Hashem wants us to identify Him, and how Hashem wants us to approach Him, and how Hashem wants us to understand Him, and kaviyochol, the painstaking effort that He made, that Chazal tell us, Vayavar al Shem al Ponov, Melamed Shiesativ HaKodesh Baruch Hu Betales Keshliach Tzibur. HaKodesh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Moshe Rabbeinu, how do you perform this Yud Gimel Midos? He put on a talis, Kavayochol, what exactly that means, as a Shliach Tzibur, and he recites the Yud Gimel Midos. And the Yud Gimel Midos are all Midos HaRachamim. Hashem, the Midos HaRachamim, before we do tshuva. Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim after, before we sin, the Midas HaRachamim after we do tshuva, after we sin and we do tshuva. Kael, the gvura that Hashem has, to be kuivish is kas. There's many reasons to be angry at us. There's many shortcomings that we've exhibited throughout the year. But Hashem overpowers that kas just to be merachim. That's the way the goyin learns pshat and kael. Rachum v'chanun, we know, He's merciful, He sees our suffering in Kaviyochol, feels our pain. Chanun, He graciously grants Matoinois Bechinom, constantly giving us far more than we deserve. Erech HaPayim, there's reason to be impatient with us, but Hashem is infinite in His patience and puts up with us, and we make one mistake and another mistake and another mistake. Rav Chesed ve'emes, Noitzer Chesed lo alofim. He's still paying us for the chastei ovois. And he's Noitzer ovoin vofesha v'chato v'nake. And he bears whatever level of infraction that we have performed, whether it's chet, pesha, or ovoin, and he's menake. He removes it completely. He removes it. Even the stain is not left. And to the extent that the Mesilas Yesharim describes it as echkiras harotzoin, the concept of tshuva is such that the rotzoin, I wish I hadn't done it. I'm goymer das not to do it in the future. I'm making the picture of myself trying that I should be able to do better in the future, or not have done bad, or not do bad in the future, or to do better in the future. And that rotzoin, akiras harotzoin, kakiras hamaise, as if it never took place. Unless Akiras HaRotzoin is so difficult. I'm not so sure it's so difficult. It's difficult because we don't realize that Hashem is Rachum V'Chanun Erech HaPayim, and we freeze up and we're afraid to face the shortcomings that we may have within us. But when we realize that He's Rachum V'Chanun, when we recognize, as the Ramban says, Pshat in the Pasuk, Ki Imcho Haslicho Leman Tivorei, Yira Shomayim emanates from the realization that Hashem is so forgiving. Because of the fact He's so forgiving, we don't have to be so afraid to be afraid. We don't have to be so afraid to own up to our shortcomings. We don't have to be afraid to look at where we've fallen short and what we could possibly do to correct it to whatever minimal extent that we can. Because Imcho Haslicho, Hashem is so forgiving. He's Rachum V'Chanun Erech HaPayim Noitzer Chesed Lo Alofim Noitzer Ovoim V'Fesha V'Chato V'Nakei. If that's the case, and when it happens, it's as if it never happened before. It's Ke'akiras HaMaise. If He's so waiting, if He's so sympathetic, if He's so Moli Rachamim, you can imagine that maybe I can begin addressing this process. And I don't have to be afraid that maybe I'll fall short, because whatever I do, I'm begeder oseh tshuva. And whatever level I'm goymer das, that's considered a kiyum of the mitzvah. And every picture that I picture myself accomplishing, that's considered a schus, that could be mahapich the whole din. These are ideas and concepts which are somewhat within our reach. I'd like to share with you something which I actually just got my hands on today. And it's attributed to the Chazon Ish. There are copies that were left outside. You picked them up on your way out. This is a piece from a letter written by the Chazon Ish. And it sets a tone for how positive we have to be. And it's only with positive feelings. It's only with an uplifting sense of appreciation of the love that Hashem has and the opportunity that Torah and mitzvahs is for us, and not the burden and the difficulty and the overwhelming feeling that sometimes shatters us. It's only that that really can awaken us to make change. And he says like this, Lizoyer shelo yashpiu divrehem linetio kiderach ha-Torah kvedo v'goideres bifnei tanugei ha-chayim. He says, we have to be very careful that the words that we utter shouldn't lead to an idea that the derech ha-Torah is heavy, it's such a burden, and it's goideres, it creates offense bifnei tanugei ha-chayim, preventing us from enjoying the pleasures of life. It would seem that to prevent us from some of the tanugei ha-chayim would be a very worthwhile endeavor, but it's too big a turnoff. It's too difficult. The Chazon Ish, in all of his sanctity, his holiness, and his godless, and his otherworldliness, was keenly in touch with the neshama of his generation, which was a generation that ended. He passed away in the early 50s. He says, this is critical. V'lochein min haroi lemayit es hadibur b'choyvois ha-toyroh. This is the Chazon Ish speaking. It's worthy to be memayit. Don't speak that much about the choyvois ha-toyroh. Ach hadibur roi lios miranin leiv u'misameach v'noite al hane'imus v'rikshe ha-chayim. He says, rather, the words that we speak should be like words of joy, rino, should be to rejoice the heart and make the heart happy. And it should lead us to this sense of pleasantness of the existence of our lives. We have to perceive a life of Torah and mitzvahs as a song, as a simcha, as a ne'imus, as a pleasant existence, because otherwise, too much. It's too overwhelming. We're all human. And that's why the tshuva process is so difficult, because it seems so burdensome. Sitting in the sukkah, that's fun. Latkes on Hanukkah, that's great. Singing Dayenu on Pesach after the whole preparations, not so bad. But tshuva, the burden, mishpot, the judgment, it's too much. No, he says, make it b'ne'imus. In a way that's appropriate to draw the hearts of the youth. Now, we're all young at heart, but in the bonds of love. And a heart that's desirous. V'sameach, and rejoicing. That makes it easy to lead a life of Torah that elevates us. Oira Chaim, I guess it's a reference to the pasuk lemalo lemaskil, that we should want to go higher, we should want to be elevated. Because the way of Torah, the life of Torah, is a life of simcha, is a life of pleasantness, is a life of ne'imus. It's not a life of negating, Chazon Ish's words, tanuge gedorim against tanuge hachaim. It's not a derech ha-Torah kvedo. It's a privilege rather than just a burden. V'cholila ligroim atzvas ruach, and cholila, to do anything to cause a sadness of spirit. Sadness, atzvus, is the worst thing in the world. Shehu hayesod shel hayetzer lahatis es ha'odum min ha-mesilo. It is the fundamental tool, hayesod, of the Yetzer Hora to dissuade us from the proper path in life. So we have to think about reestablishing our path, reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a way that's positive, in a way that appreciates the privilege of a life of Torah Mitzvahs, in a way that appreciates the simcha of a life of Torah Mitzvahs, in a way that appreciates the sweetness, the pleasantness of a life of Torah Mitzvahs. Nobody wants to be miserable. Atzvus, sadness, and especially associated with any of the mitzvahs HaTorah, with anything that has to do with the Derech HaTorah, with anything that's shayich to Yadus, is the greatest tool, is the fundamental tool that the Yetzirah has to destroy us, and to dissuade us, and to mislead us, and to lead us away from the Derech HaTorah. I'd like to just a few more comments on some positive things that maybe can make this process a little bit easier. With all of the shortcuts, if you will, lighter aspects, lighter approaches, and the significance of their ability to accomplish that were mentioned, still not so simple. Still not so simple. And I think it's kedai to keep in mind what the Chofetz Chaim has taught. It seems that the Radak learns the Posuk the same way. You know, we say in Kapitel Lamed Gimel, Hayoitzer yachad libo mamevin el kol ma'aseihem. That's the Posuk that the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah brings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world on Rosh Hashanah b'skira achas. And it continues, Ein HaMelech Noishu Barov Choyil, Gibor Lo Yenotzu Barov Koyach, Chayil and Koyach, all these things are not going to happen. And it continues, Hine Ein Hashem El Yireyov. The eye of Hashem looks favorably on those who fear Him. Lamiachalim Lechastoy, and the Chofetz Chaim puts a comma there and says, it doesn't say Yireyov Hamiachalim Lechastoy, the people who fear Hashem who are awaiting His chesed. But rather the Yireyov, a one group that is the Ein Hashem, positively looking favorably on these people, and also on the Meyachalim Lechastoy, and those that are Meyachal Lechastoy, those that await His kindness, those that put their trust in Him. And it seems the Chofetz Chaim points out that there's two separate groups. There's the Yirei Hashem, and they deserve, they're the best, they're in the best category, they deserve the fullest, most appropriate positive treatment in the Yemei Hadin. And then there's the Meyachalim Lechastoy, they're not necessarily Rei Hashem. And the Posuk continues and says, La'atzil mimoves nafshom ulechayoysom baro'ov. That to both of these groups, to the Rei Hashem, and to those that are not yet Rei Hashem, but they're Meyachalim Lechastoy, Hashem is matzil mimoves, chayoysom baro'ov, He gives them life, He gives them parnosa. And it seems that there's two approaches. And even if we cannot find the strength within ourselves, with all the shortcuts and the easiness that we try to suggest, to be from the Yirei Hashem between now and the Shas Ne'ilas Hashar, but there's the Meyachalim Lechastoy that are also treated equally. Meyachalim Lechastoy may very well be much more within our reach. What does that mean? There's a very interesting comment from the Sefer HaMaspik Lo'ivde Hashem from the Rebbe Avrom ben Rambam. He says on the posuk that we say in Psukei Dezimra every day, Roitze Hashem es Yireyov, es HaMeyachalim Lechastoy. Hashem desires, He's desirous of the Yireyov, those who fear Him. Es HaMeyachalim Lechastoy sounds like this is the same people, those that await His kindness. And the Rebbe Avrom ben Rambam learns Pshat like this. Who are the Yirei Hashem that the Pasuk is talking about? And he says like this. There's two levels, there's a number of levels, but there's two levels of trust in Hashem. One is the level that I'm sure that Hashem is going to grant me that which I want. As I stand in front of the din on Yom Kippur, I am confident. I have bitochun, betuchim, al rachamecho horabim ono betuchim. For sure. We have confidence 100%. Hashem will grant us that which we ask for. But then he says, there's another level. I'm not quite up to that level. I'm not quite sure. And the reason, of course, all the Rishonim say is, Shemagoram achet. How can I be sure that Hashem is going to grant my wishes? I may not be worthy of the things that I'm asking for. And if I'm not worthy, then I may not get it. Memela, I can't be sure. But there's another level. And that's the miyachalim. And he says, those are the miyachalim, the metzapim, the mekavim, and the mechakim. All the shyness of waiting, refusing to give up, hoping, continuing to wait, never, refusing never to give up. Afilu cherev chodo munachav al tzavorav shalodam al yimna atzmei min harachamim. I'm never going to give up. I'm still hoping. I'm still hoping. There's nothing. You can't stop my hope. You can't stop my chikui. You can't stop my tzipui. You can't stop the kivui. It's there. And he says that the pasuk means this. Roitza Hashem es yireyov. Hashem wants the yireyov. Es hameyachalim lechastoi. The array of the people who are afraid to have bitochin. That's the array of that Hashem is roitze. But they're meyachalim lechastei. But they haven't given up hope. Imagine that. I can't reach the level of surety that this is going to happen the way I would like to see it. But Hashem has a special desire, kaviyochol, roitze or rotzein. A special desire for me. Why? Because I am the Yirei Hashem who's afraid to have the bitochen because of Shem Agoram Achet. But I'm still Meyachal Achastav and I haven't given up. I refuse. I'm fearful. I don't have that bitochen. I know maybe I don't deserve it. But I refuse to give up hope. And that has a koyach. Because the posuk that the Chofetz Chaim was medayik, Hinei Ein Hashem El Yireyov La Meyachalim Lachastoy. That's not la boitchim al chastoy. That's not like al habtuchim bishuosoy. That's an hamiyachalim lechastoy. That means that there's a koyach in the yom adin. There's a koyach in tefillah. There's a koyach in standing in judgment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur and saying, trying my best with the tshuva. I don't know. I can't really say that I reached the level of Yirei Hashem. I can't really say that I can trust because of the fact that I'm not the Yirei Hashem and I'm not sure that I'm worthy of what I want. But I'm in another category. A desirable category that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me. He wants me. He has this kaviyochol, this sense of ritzui, of desire for me. Why? Because I'm miyachal achastu. Because despite my fear, because of the fact that I have this fear and I couldn't have bitochin, but still, I refuse to give up hope. That in itself is a schus that lahatzil mimoves nafshon lachayosam barov. That schus, it seems, that is what Yom Kippur does for us. Because on Yom Kippur we're constantly beseeching Hashem. We're constantly in the slichas meramis in arachamecho rabim ono betuchim and slichasech ono bekavim and shuoscho ono betzapim and so forth. And so constantly focusing, not giving up, we're not giving up. Yes, I did so many things wrong. Yes, I have so many shortcomings. Yes, I'm trying a little bit here and there, but I won't give up. And the truth of the matter is that this is really the secret of the Avinu Malkeinu. The secret of those psukim of Avinu Malkeinu which were able to be mahapecha ma'apecha in a batzoiris in Eretz Yisrael, which none of the other tefillahs of all the gedoy le'olam were able to accomplish, comes from this Ovinu Malkeinu. And the Marsha says there that Ovinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, is referring to the piyut that we say on Rosh Hashanah by Tia Shofer. Im kebonim, that's Ovinu, im ka'avodim, okay, he's the melech, we're the servants. Im kibonim, if we're worthy of being considered your children, we haven't so far erred, we haven't so far sinned, we haven't so far distanced ourselves, we haven't so misbehaved or mistreated you, so to speak, as if we're still worthy to be bonim. Rachameinu kerachem oval bonim. And that It's not something that we've given up on, because we say it again. We don't just say, Malkeinu, Malkeinu, Malkeinu. We say Avinu. And included in Avinu is not just our Father, but it's who we are. It's Hashem's our Father. Why? Because he was the father of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the Doris. So all the Schus Ovis, all the Neitze Chesed Lo Alofim, all the Avas HaOvis VaHakadmonim is all, that Schus we still have. You say, Avinu. If we're Roy still to be called your children, Rachameinu Kerachem Ovalbonim. That's Avinu. And it's possible. The Schus Ovis may work. Maybe we still have, you know, each person is different. We try. And we repeat it again and again and again and again and again. But im ka'avodim, but if we're no longer worthy of the rachamon, of the rachmonas of a father to a son, einenu lecho tluyois ad shetchonenu v'soitzi cho'or mishpoteinu. Malkeinu means like this. We stand in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom and we say, we haven't given up hope. We're never going to give up hope. Einenu lecho tluyois ad shetchonenu. We will keep those eyes focused on you. We will refuse to be miayish. We will refuse to walk away from here. We will refuse to give up ad shetchoneinu until you give us that matnas chinam. What a koyach. We inspire in ourselves that koyach of the level of bitochin, of kivui, of chikui, of tzipui, of yichul. We're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. And the truth of the matter is, that's something that we're all shaykh to. No matter where we're holding. In fact, forgive me, but if you'll go from one Beis HaKnesses to another, not even in the Beis HaKnesses amongst the Anshei Shloimeinu, but even you'll go where people, maybe they drove to shul, maybe they didn't drive to shul, but maybe it's the only time of year that they come to shul, and they have so little shaychus to the whole Yiddishkeit. But they haven't lost the hope. They haven't lost the hope. They're there. Why are they there? They're hoping that this little effort that they're making is going to make a difference. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs us, Roitze Hashem es yireyov es hamiyachalim lechastoy. The miyachalim lechastoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. The miyachalim lechastoy have the koyach of Avinu Malkeinu. They have the koyach to influence a gzardin because einenu lechot luyois ad shetchoneinu. Such a koyach. We have that koyach. We have those feelings. And I'd like to conclude just one more thought, because it really typifies this whole mood that the Yontif is to inspire in us. From Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, Nila and Yom Kippur, instead of saying Hokel HaKodesh, we say HaMelech HaKodesh. HaMelech HaKodesh. And it seems the Pashtus in Halacha, that the Indian is, to remember that Kel is a lotion of Rachamim, Hashem is Kivish, his cast to be Merachim. Of HaMelech is one to whom we're responsible. He's the Melech. He's the one that, you know, he sits in judgment. When a melech sits in judgment, you know, who hayitoka shoifa ba'ir ba'om lo yecherodu, the world is being judged. The melech is sitting al kisei amishpot. A concern to reckon with. But what we sometimes forget is that we say ha-melech ha-kodosh. What is kodosh? We say it right before we say those words. Vayigba Hashem tzvokos ba-mishpot. Hashem Tzvokis is elevated in Mishpot. He sits in Mishpot over the world. V'hokel HaKodosh Nikdash. With what is Hashem Nikdash? Kodosh meaning Mufresh, meaning separate, above and beyond. He's beyond anything that we could ever possibly comprehend. Nikdash Bitztoko. He is Nikdash in his Tztoko. And the Goyin says that there's a difference between Tzedek and Tztoko. There's a similarity, but there's a difference. Tzedek means righteousness, doing the right thing. Tztoko is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives us more beyond what we deserve. So yes, the Melech is sitting b'mishpot. And we have to remember that this is a week of HaMelech. No question about it. But who's that Melech? That's the Melech HaKadosh. Kodosh. He's sanctified. He's separated by an infinite level of tzdoko. Hakeil HaKodosh niktash bitzdoko. And that tzdoko that he's niktash with is giving us way beyond, far more than we deserve. So in summation, to capture the opportunity of the moment, it's certainly very important to recognize that there are many, let's call them devices, that we can avail ourselves of to begin and to significantly impact and maybe even to fulfill the process, the mitzvah, the approach of tshuva. And we also have to realize that we shouldn't become paralyzed by the seriousness of the moment, because ki imcha haslicha, Hashem is forgiving. And not only is he forgiving, to those who refuse to give up. And that's us. That's every one of us sitting here, and a major rave minion of binion of Klal Yisrael, even those that rarely frequent the shuls, haven't given up. And if we refuse to give up, if we're miyachalim lechastoi, then that's a schus that Hashem answers our tefillas, provides us because of the fact that no matter how difficult, no matter how far we've distanced ourselves, and no matter how pained and difficult the situation is, we don't give up hope. We're not going to give up hope. We refuse to give up hope. And as we're mamlich that melech, we should recognize that he's the melech HaKodesh, who is his inyan, his thing, that the kedusha, the essence of that melech, is to give us far beyond what we deserve. I think with this combination of emotions and feelings and realizations, we should be able to calm down a little bit. We shouldn't be so overwhelmed. We should keep that fire of hope burning. We should access the rudiments of tshuva to the best that we can possibly do. And we'll surely be zeicha that the Rabbeinu Shalom will be mekabel tfiloseinu v'tshuvoseinu berachamim. And we'll be zeicha that this year that we have begun, we will be awaiting great yeshuas for all of Klal Yisrael. The need is so great. Refuas for so many of the people who are so direly ill. Parnosa for so many people who are hurting. And the pain and suffering from Klal Yisroel should be alleviated and removed. And we should all be zeichet to agmar chsima toivam, ashnas chayim v'sholoim lonu l'chol Yisroel.
There will now be a minyan from Arab in the dining room right across the hall.
Sure.